Not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it's the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it.
Thanks, Mary. Thanks, Tom.
Let me say again, thank you so, so much for having me this afternoon. It really is a privilege to come and share God's word with you. And as we kind of delve in to John chapter 40, I'm going to pray for us again. Father, thank you so much that you speak to us in your word. Thank you that you promised to us that your word will not return to you empty. And so we pray this afternoon that your word would be doing its work in our hearts. And may we come away loving and delighting in the Lord Jesus more. Amen. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Just a few weeks ago, those were the words read by Liz Truss at the Queen's funeral. And how poignant they were for that historical moment. The only queen that many of us had known, a queen loved by lots of people, a queen who was a pillar of British society for over 75 years, in the course of an afternoon, passing away. As the news came in on that dramatic Thursday afternoon, and as the country mourned its loss, there were many weary and troubled hearts. Death is a distressing and troubling reality, something that unsettles us deeply. Perhaps you felt that really, really keenly at some point this year. It rocks us, doesn't it? My grandfather passed away just a few 6 months ago, and it's majorly, majorly destabilizing. In our passage today, the disciples are confronted with that unsettling reality. In chapter 13, in just a few moments before, Jesus had made a shocking announcement to them. Verse 33, my children, I will only be with you a little longer. He's getting ready to leave his disciples. He's starting his journey to the cross. And you can imagine how those disciples must have felt. The Savior who had performed amazing miracles, the Savior whose words brought people to eternal life, the Savior that they had eaten with, that they knew and that they loved, now about to depart. What would the disciples do once their Saviour goes? And maybe you're sitting here today and you feel a similar sense of absence. You trust and you know Jesus, and yet he often feels very, very far away. Far away from the difficulties you have at work, distant from those tricky relationships at home. And so it seems as if he's uncaring about your mourning, your pain, your sadness. Life often feels troubling and unsettling. Does Jesus care? Is there any comfort for weary and troubled souls? Well, in John 14, Jesus wants to assure his disciples, you believe in God, believe also in me. He wants them and he wants us to know that trusting in him is not misplaced. Jesus is enough because he'll bring you home. Jesus is enough because he reveals the Father. Jesus is enough for doing God's work. And we're going to consider each of those in turn this afternoon. So firstly, Jesus is enough because he'll bring you home. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2, my Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? A matter of moments before, in John 13:36, Jesus had said, where I'm going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. He's very clear with his disciples. Jesus' journey to the cross is one that he must journey alone. And yet, verse 2, this journey is in fact good news. Because it doesn't end with the cross. Rather, Jesus' journey continues on to his Father's house, where he will prepare a place for his disciples. See, Jesus goes to the cross. He leaves his disciples so that they might come home. During my first term at university, I remember calling my mum just before the term finished. I'd written too many essays to count. I was tired and ready to come home. And so on the phone, mum said to me something like this. We've laid your bed. Your sister has taken all her clothes out of your room. And there's a sticky toffee pudding, the best dessert in the world, ready to be eaten. It was a lovely, comforting thing to know that I was coming home, that it was all ready. And Jesus seeks to comfort his disciples with that same truth. He has got his home ready for you. So trust in him. Notice the way that Jesus describes this house. This is his Father's house, where the God of the universe dwells. That's what Jesus had experienced from all eternity. That's his home now. And that's the home he's gone to prepare for his disciples, for all those who trust in him. A place of true security, true joy, true comfort, because there you'll be with the Father. For some of us, home might not feel like an easy place to be. Rather than a place of comfort or security, a place maybe of sadness, loneliness. And so the prospect of going to a home like the Father's might seem unreachable, unattainable, completely beyond our imagination. But see how Jesus describes this house. Again, it has many rooms. This house he prepares is not a house like mine that basically struggles to fit five ordinary sized blokes in it. No, it's a mansion that is prepared for anyone who trusts in him. When Jesus looks upon his disciples, he knows that in a matter of hours, they'll leave him, desert him, even deny him. And yet these are the people he's preparing a place for. Weak, troubled, sinners. Isn't that wonderful news? The house has many rooms. Rooms for people who mess up every day. Rooms for those who feel worn out by life and the heaviness of sin. For those whose faith feels weak. Do not let your hearts be troubled. If you're trusting in Jesus, he's prepared a place for you. And yet Jesus doesn't stop there. Read with me verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and take you to be with me, that you may also may be where I am. Jesus will make sure that his people get home. One day, he will return, and he will take the hands of all those trusting in him and bring them safely to his Father's house, where we will be with him forever. How easy it is for us to lose sight of eternity. On a Sunday at church, it might feel at least easier to think of these things. And yet, when we hit a Monday, it's so easy for our hearts and minds to be distracted. There might be many good and important things that fill our minds. Schoolwork, friendships and relationships, work, getting the kids to school, balancing a busy life, looking after a parent or grandparent, things that can be weary and troubling, and things from which Jesus might feel distant. Or Jesus pleads with his disciples to believe in him. He's not apathetic or ambivalent to your struggles. He longs for you to come home. If you're trusting in Jesus, your future is secure. One day you will come home, and all those struggles and worries and anxieties will fade into distant memory as you enjoy the mansion he's prepared for you. Trust in Jesus. Your future is secure. Yet the disciples seem to have missed this. Perhaps they just can't imagine that Jesus, the departing Savior, is the one who's going to get them home. So Thomas asks that question in verse 5. Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? And Jesus responds in no uncertain terms with those most famous words, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus' claim to the disciples is this. He is the only way home to the Father. And why? Well, that brings us to our second point. Because to know Jesus is to know the Father. Our second point, Jesus is enough because he reveals the Father, because he shows you the Father. I wonder instinctively how you respond when you hear those words of verse 6. No one comes to the Father except through me. Perhaps you hear those words and they make you feel slightly uncomfortable. Maybe you're sitting here and you're still on the fence about the Christian faith. And, well, to be honest, exclusive claims like this seem in some way quite off-putting. How can Jesus say something like this? It seems narrow, unfair. I'm sure there are many Christians who might similarly feel a bit uncomfortable about this. There are good people around me who live good lives. What about other religions? All sorts of questions might spiral in our heads. And yet verse 7 is crucial for us. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Jesus shows his disciples that in him, they have the real deal. If they have seen him, they have seen the Father. If they know Jesus, they know God. If they have relationship with him, then they have relationship with God. Jesus makes the exclusive claims of verse 6 because he shows the Father perfectly. He is the way home because to know him is to know the Father. Jesus is the truth because to see him is to see God, the one at the center of all reality. Jesus is the light, because to truly know him is to truly know God, and to know God is to have life forever. Only Jesus brings people to God. There is no other way. He is himself God, and he shows the Father to them. To come to him is to come to the Father. To his weary and troubled disciples, Jesus wants them to see that they have enough, they have all they need. If you want to know God, look no further than Jesus. And yet the running narrative of this passage, it seems, is that the disciples are slow to understand. We see Philip asking another question of Jesus. in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. And it's tempting here to spurn Philip. Why can't you see what's in front of you? You're so dull. But I wonder if you've ever been tempted to think like this. I certainly have. But only God can make himself clearer. Maybe write a message in the stars or form the clouds in a certain way. Then I'll believe in him and be more confident. Or if only I had some special experience. If God showed himself to me spectacularly, then I'd know my confidence hasn't been misplaced. That seems to be the heart behind Philip's question. He seeks more. He still doesn't understand that in Jesus, the Father has himself come close to them, is intimately with them in the person of Jesus. So Jesus responds with a gentle rebuke. Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time. And he restates again what he said. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. As they look at Jesus, it's not as if they're seeing some grainy, fuzzy image of God that shows a shape, but is basically unclear and hard to work out. Can we have the next slide? A few years ago, the island of Madeira commemorated a statue for this footballer, the famous footballer, Cristiano Ronaldo. This is what Cristiano Ronaldo looked like. From my perspective, quite a chiseled, good-looking man. This is what his statue looked like. And the next slide, just to put into perspective, there's Cristiano Ronaldo. There's his statue. Safe to say, this wasn't a good representation. And a few years later, as you can probably imagine, the statue was taken down. This was a poor representation of Cristiano Ronaldo, but not so with Jesus. He is the full, perfect picture. Detailed, colorful, in HD, the disciples have all that they need to know God. Because if they see Jesus, they see the Father. So let me ask this question of you this afternoon. Do you see that Jesus is all you need to know God? Last week, I was sitting down with some colleagues at my previous company. One thing led to another, and we got onto a conversation about Jesus. And it became fairly clear pretty quickly that none of them had any idea of who Jesus was. One person said to me, there's no evidence for Jesus. He's a figure of mythology at best. Nobody can know anything about Jesus. I wouldn't believe in him. Another piped up later. He was a spiritual man, perhaps a prophet. When many consider Jesus, these are the sorts of things that they might say. I'm sure there are many others. But Jesus' self-definition is remarkable and unashamed. He is all you need to know God. You don't need special religious knowledge, or you don't need to have the right background. You don't need to live in the right place to be brought up with the right parents. Instead, all you need is to look to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Meet Jesus, trust in Jesus. And as Christians, don't we need reminding of that? It might, in some sense, feel like old news, but we're so often prone to thinking in terms of what we can do to know God more. Read the right books, take up certain habits or practices, live in the right way. And though these things might be good, might we be in danger of losing the wood for the trees? Slowly, perhaps unintentionally, thinking that these are what we need to know God, forgetting that we have all that we need in Jesus. Jesus assures his disciples, he assures us that we need not look anywhere else. Fix your eyes on Jesus. He is the one who will bring you to the Father. In his kindness, though, Jesus goes even further. Jesus doesn't want his disciples to be troubled or unsettled. And so he points them to how he shows the Father. He points them ultimately to his work. That brings us to our third point. Jesus is enough for doing God's work. Jesus is enough because he does his Father's work. Oh, those are supposed to be 10 to 14. Apologies, that was my mistake. Those are verses 10 to 14, not 5 to 10. In verse 10, Jesus shows his disciples how his Father works. Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. notice the way that Jesus talks about his work. Believe me that, the words I say to you, verse 10, I do not speak of my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. As Jesus speaks, God the Father is doing his work in the world. If you want to know God, then listen to Jesus and his words. The words that Jesus speaks come from the Father. It is the Father living in me who is doing his works. And so they come with awesome power. Verse 12, look at the evidence of the works themselves. When Jesus speaks, water is turned into wine. When Jesus speaks, storms are calmed. When Jesus speaks, sick people are made healthy. When Jesus speaks, dead people are brought to life. This is not a man who makes false or empty claims. His words are life-giving and powerful. God the Father is working through Jesus' words. And the whole of John's gospel testifies to that amazing reality. When Jesus speaks, God is doing his work. That was true for the disciples as they spent time with Jesus on earth, seeing him, listening to him. And that is true for us too. That is true for us too as Christians today in the 21st century. If we want to come to God, all we need to do is listen to Jesus. Which means that as we open the Bible, something amazing is going on. Because as we hear Jesus speaks in the scriptures, God is doing his work. Bringing peace in uncertain situations, bringing joy and hope when things seem full of despair and sadness. As Jesus speaks, God is in the business of bringing dead people to life. And yet, if you're anything like me, I'm so prone to forgetting this. Imagine if every time we opened our Bibles, we really were convinced that God is at work. Wouldn't that radically change how we approach the time that we spend in the Bible, not sort of a kind of small bit of our day that feels kind of boring and dull and dreary. Instead, the God of the Bible is speaking to us, working as Jesus speaks to us. That is an exciting, amazing thing. Whether that be corporately with God's people or individually in personal quiet times, the God of the Bible will work powerfully as we listen to Jesus. God does his work through Jesus' words. Jesus really is worth listening to, and he really is worth trusting in. I wonder what first comes to mind when you think about the Christian life here and now, today. Perhaps we feel like it's some sort of waiting room. We wait here nervously, anxiously, on earth until the Lord calls us home. Perhaps we think of it as one of weakness, suffering, hardship. There's certainly truth these things. But as our passage closes, Jesus' reassurance is this. God has not finished his works on earth, but he uses Christians to achieve his purposes. Verse 12. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. If you're a Christian here today, trusting in Jesus, this is what he promises. Jesus' work on earth was all about proclaiming, giving spiritual life to people through his powerful words. And that's the work that we get to be a part of. We continue in God's work as we proclaim the good news about Jesus, as we use our frail and weak words to speak of Jesus, as we testify to his awesome power in this village, as we raise our head above the parapet to say something about the hope we have in him. If we're a Christian, then we're part of something amazing. God will use us, those who believe in Jesus, to do his work. And amazingly, Jesus claims even, did you notice? Jesus claims in verse 12, they will do even greater things than these. Not because we're eloquent, not because we're smart or particularly composed, but because of what Jesus has done and is doing. Jesus has died on the cross. He's gone to the Father. The house is prepared. Because Jesus has gone to the cross, the way home is open. The doors have been flung wide, and Christians can testify to that. Speak of that. We really have good news that our world needs to hear. But not only this, Jesus is now with the Father, he reassures in verse 13 and 14. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Jesus guarantees to us that any type of prayer concerning God's glory will be answered. Any prayer that might result in adoration of the Lord, that is the type of prayer our Savior loves to answer. So often our prayers can be quite self-centered, can't they? And that's okay, but concerned with our wealth or health and security. And those things aren't bad to pray for, but Jesus doesn't promise he'll answer them. The Lord Jesus, verse 13 and 14, is concerned chiefly that the Father may be glorified. And he delights when our priorities align with his. When Jesus died on the cross, his work didn't finish there and then, in some sense. Rather, he's still at work as Christians talk about him, as Christians pray to him. Trust in Jesus. He's still doing God's work through ordinary people like you and me. Depend on him and his words. They are all that you need. I don't know how you feel as you look towards the coming week. Our world feels like a difficult place to be so often. Life is wearying, troubling, often unsettling. And Jesus sometimes does seem very far away. But don't put your trust in anybody or anything else. He will bring you home, so take comfort. He shows you the Father now, so look to him. He's doing his work in you and in the world, so listen to him and trust in him. Cast your mind always to Jesus. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Let me pray for us. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Heavenly Father, we live in a world that feels troubling. We live in a country that feels unsettling and wearying. So often life isn't straightforward. We pray that we would be those who know deeply that the Lord Jesus is not uncaring or apathetic to our weary and troubled hearts. Rather, might we know increasingly, deeply, the reassurance that Jesus will one day bring us home. That if we have Jesus now, we have God. And please would we know that we can do God's work on this earth now. Lord, thank you so, so much for our Saviour Jesus. Amen.